And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark. Thank you for watching. And as you can see, we have Matt Derrick here with us, and we'll talk to him here in just a minute. We have a lot to talk about. The NFL draft starts tomorrow. Ryan is actually in Dallas preparing to do a live show about the draft, so be sure to check that out on all the streaming platforms. And when we get back, we're going to be talking about Matt's third mock draft and really what the Chiefs could do in this draft.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Thank you for making Locked On Chiefs your first listen every day. We really do appreciate that. I am your host, Chris Clark. You can find me at Chiefs Corner. Got a lot of stuff going out on there. Got a couple of mock drafts. As you can see, I have Matt Derrick with me today. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, Chris. I'm already tired and worn out for the draft. I don't know if you are as well, but
dude, I love this time of year. I am so excited for the draft. It's so much fun to watch this scenario play out and see how teams really rank players compared to what you're thinking about them and really see this team get better, because I think that's a big thing going into this draft. But before we get started talking about your mock, I just want to give a quick shout out to our title sponsor, Blue Nile. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On sports listeners get $50 off $500. Use code Locked On at checkout. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into this mock draft that you have. This is your third edition. And looks like you're talking about possibly trading up for a wide receiver, but it went sideways pretty quick, huh?
That was the goal. And each of my mock drafts have been doing different scenarios, and this was the offense first scenario. The goal was trading up for a wide receiver, and yeah, as you kind of noted, Jameson Williams, which would have been my target. That's the receiver I wanted to trade up to get. Went to Seattle at number 9. And then Garrett Wilson and Drake London both went top 10. Chris Olave, he probably would have been the next choice. I mean, I know Treylon Burks is there. Both those guys went. I mean, one went at 17. Burks goes at 25. And the way that receivers went off the board at that point, I just couldn't pull the trigger and do it. I mean, like I said, I mean, getting up, I would have even considered going to 10. To try to target Williams, but him going at 9 just kind of erased all of that. And by the point that the players that I've got first round grades, Burks to me is kind of a borderline. I see him more as probably a second round group, not in the top 16 to 18 that Brett Veach would have. So once you get to that point, it just wasn't worth trading up from 29 to 25 for me. So I stood pat there, got George Pickens, who I think would be a fantastic fit to the Chiefs offense. Probably a couple of questions, but by and large, I mean, I think if the Chiefs could sit tight and get a player like that, they'd be okay with that.
Yeah, and I think that is one way to look at it, and I'm not going to disagree with you. I think that they would be okay with that. I really have a hard time picking out where they're going to go in this draft, and it's so interesting because it just seems like this year they have holes at three big positions in edge and corner and wide receiver. And those are your positions that are going to be not overdrafted, but drafted early and often. So it's going to be very hard to have anybody drop to you that is really going to be your first round type guy, your ranking type guy. So in my mind, if they're going to get that guy, they got to trade up to go get him. I'm not saying that they're going to trade up. It wouldn't shock me, but if they want Jameson Williams, they're going to have to go way up there. I can't see him going at 9, though. That's interesting to me with DK and Tyler Lockett still there. But obviously, this is a simulation, not real life. I just can't see Snyder going that direction.
And I could certainly see him going at 9, maybe not to Seattle, maybe to making a move to get there. I could certainly see that. But both the scenarios that I've done with the Chiefs as far as, you know, targeting defense and targeting offense, I ran into the exact problem that you mentioned, which is that, you know, the premium players going early and not being there. You know, with Williams, I was willing to move up and to really go up and get him. On the defense, even my second mock draft scenario, where I was willing to go up and get an edge rusher, but waited to see how the first, you know, 17 picks kind of filtered out. And that was the same type of thing. I mean, it was shaping up to the point where there wasn't going to be an edge. There wasn't going to be a receiver. There wasn't going to be a cornerback at 29 that you have a true first round grade on, which means you're going to be making a reach most likely for the Chiefs and you stand pat. Getting up into the top 10 or 12 to get the receiver of your choice, probably having to move up into the top 18 to at least get one of the high end edge rushers. You can take I think a little bit more of a chance with corner, but even then, I mean, there's a reasonable chance that there's five or six corners gone by 29. So,
and that's how crazy is that? You could be seeing five or six edge rushers go, five or six corners go, and maybe five or six wide receivers. Obviously, you probably won't have five or six of all those positions, but you're going to have five or six of each of those positions more than likely. That's 15 to 18 players. That's a lot of the draft gone right there. It's interesting to me to see how this is going to break out, because you start looking at edge rushers, you start looking at corners, and one of the guys that could possibly fall to Kansas City at corner that is highly rated, he doesn't really fit their mold in Trent McDuffie. So the question is do you break what your normal mold is? Because he doesn't have the length that you normally go for.
Yeah, there's a couple of different players that do fit exactly that kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. And you know, in this mock draft, I grabbed one of them later with Roger McCreary, who, you know, is a fantastic corner, a ton of production, but very, very small by Chiefs standards. I mean, short arms. I mean, it's not anywhere close to Brett Veach's typical corner that he would draft, but does have the production. You know, the other thing that, you know, that this mock draft pointed out to me, which is, and Brett Veach talked about this a little bit on Friday, what's the perfect scenario for the Chiefs in a move back scenario? And that's, you know, honestly, I mean, that is where, yes, all of the top corners, receivers, and edges are gone, and zero quarterbacks are off the board. Because the Lions are sitting there at 32, and I think there's a pretty good chance the Lions are going to take one of these quarterbacks. Which means if you want to get your choice of the guys who are in this draft, you're probably going to have to jump in front of the Lions.
Right.
Chiefs have two opportunities to do that. They could literally sit on the clock for 20 minutes with that number 30th pick and field calls from, I mean, 20 minutes is an eternity during the first round.
Yeah.
So they could field and make all the calls in the world to any team who wants to try and move back into the first round. That would be their best scenario for moving back. And I think that moving back, especially with one of those picks, has some real value to it, because as Brett Veach mentioned, 30 to 60 has a lot of depth. And I think there's a ton of depth in the third and fourth rounds. If you're able to move back and, you know, maybe enhance your standing in the second round, maybe even pick up an extra third or a fourth, I think that'd be a great scenario for the Chiefs to be in.
Yeah. And when we get back, I want to talk about that just a little bit, because I actually am doing a mock draft right now where the Chiefs did trade back. But I actually see a scenario where they could possibly trade up in the first round and trade back in the first round, since they have those two picks, and maybe not lose out what you would normally lose out. But before we do that, let me tell you about our friends over at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com is a place where you can celebrate all of life's special moments. From creating the custom engagement ring of your dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece at all at prices you won't find at a traditional jeweler. Whether she prefers a statement piece or everyday subtle elegance, BlueNile.com has fine jewelry options for every mom. Shop high-quality classic diamond earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, or gemstone pendant necklaces. Mark Mother's Day with something enduring, classic diamond stud earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, birthstone pendants, and so much more on BlueNile.com. Celebrating the special woman in your life? On BlueNile.com, you can easily navigate thousands of fine jewelry options at every price point. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com and Locked On Sports. Listeners get $50 off $500. This podcast exclusive is good only through Mother's Day. Use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. All right. When we start talking about trades, this is where this is going to get very entertaining for me, because I absolutely agree with Veach. I think there's a ton of talent, 30 to 60. I also think the talent extends probably closer to 90, although it may only be 60 players on Veach's board, but I'm talking 90 in the draft. So I think any of the first three rounds, you're going to get good quality players. So the question becomes, can you trade up and go get your guy in the first round, even if you have to trade up into the early teens, which wouldn't shock me. If they really like Jameson Williams, I think that's where they're going to have to go get him, or have a chance to go get him. But then you could probably recoup something at least from a QB needy team like the Seattle Seahawks, or maybe even, you know, any other teams that are down there that need a QB, maybe the Atlanta Falcons, which is, I think, who you traded with for your second round pick, right?
Absolutely. And they were trading up for a quarterback.
Yeah. Which is exactly what I think is going to happen in this draft. I think you start looking at guys at 30, and I guess here's my question to you, because you follow those teams so closely, you're in there. Do you have a feeling that they would be interested in taking a flyer on a guy that has an injury that isn't going to play maybe in 2022 at a high pick, or do you think that they're going to take him off the board for that reason?
Yeah, I think anybody who would not be playing in 22 would probably be off their board. So, you know, the name that jumps out immediately to me would be like an David Ajabo. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would certainly be on the Chiefs board. I mean, I've got no indication of that, but just my feeling of having, you know, spoken to these guys and, you know, and knowing them as we do, and especially what the team is. I mean, they're at a spot where I think that they really need to be able to get some guys, you know, in these early round picks that are going to be able to come in and produce for them. But, you know, Merton, certainly they want some certainty. I mean, you know, anybody that's going to be missing an entire season is going to be a real question mark. So that's, you know, and I think that we can tell a lot from the Chiefs' top 30 visits. You know, so many of the top 30 visits that we know about are all medical questions. People that they have brought in just to see where they're at with their progress and see if they're worth taking. And
Devontae White was interesting for me.
Yeah, that is an interesting one. There's quite a few of them. So, and especially with the number of receivers that they brought in, they pretty much brought in all the receivers for the most part that have injuries. You know, and I think that gives you a little bit of indication about what their thoughts are, because I'm not sure that, you know, anybody who's a first round pick or even a second round pick that I think would be in danger of missing 22 has been, you know, really showing any interest in the Chiefs.
Yeah, and you start looking at your draft. You go and you take Pascal at your second round pick, and let's see, third round pick, as you talked about earlier, was McCreary, and actually you ended up with 3 second round picks, and you took Logan Hall. Oh, 4 second round picks. Look at you.
Yeah, navigating the board a little bit there.
There you go. You can't really argue with that. You're sitting there, and you get 2 wide receivers in the first 2 rounds. Do you think that that's some way that the Chiefs could actually lean?
It's possible. I mean, certainly with and certainly look at those top 6 picks within the first 103, you mm-hmm. know, is it possible? Is it likely? No. And this was, once again, I mean, it was kind of just a feature of this draft. In this board, you know, once you got to the end of the second round and you start looking at where the value is and who's the best remaining players, they were all positions that the Chiefs don't have needs. There was interior offensive linemen. There were linebackers. You wanted the cream of the crop of that group. They were available. But when you're talking about, once again, corner, edge, I would even include tight end a little bit in that group. I mean, any of the skill positions, they were picked over. So, you know, to me, John Metchie was certainly the best of the rest. You know, you're looking at what's out there. It was just too good of a fit. Once again, I mean, he's not Tyreek Hill, but, you know, in some ways he's more polished than Tyreek Hill was at this point in his career. I think he could certainly come in and do some things in the short term, but learn from some of the vets who are going to be around. I could see that working. And I certainly think it's possible the Chiefs are going to take 2 wide receivers in this draft. It just wouldn't surprise me if the one they took was much later in the draft, probably more of a return specialist, somebody that they're really looking for special teams value from.
It's interesting to me. You take 2 wide receivers in the first 2 rounds, and I'm not saying I don't like the Metchie pick, because I really do like the Metchie pick. But you look at this class, you look at this team, and you see Mecole Hardman's on the roster. You have MVS, you have Juju, but all those guys are really 1-year guys other than maybe MVS. And MVS is a question mark because they do have an out after 1 year. I don't think it's going to come to that, but they only have one wide receiver really under contract in 2023. So that's why it wouldn't shock me to see them go, you know, double up at the wide receiver position, especially if the value's there. One thing that I did see that was really interesting to me that I tweeted out about earlier today was that if you start looking at positional value, your top 4 positions that you really need to be getting value at in the draft that are going to save you the most money, which is when we're talking about cap space, is going to be QB. Then it's going to be wide receiver, and then edge, and then left tackle. And Kansas City has needs at edge and wide receiver. So doubling up at that position doesn't bother me at all.
No, it wouldn't bother me at all. And when you mention about looking at roster construction too, I mean, that's a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And you can't just look at the 22 needs. You start need to start looking beyond that because, it, you know, hey, is Chris Jones going to be a member of this team in 23? Very likely. I mean, his cap number is like $20 million for 23. It's not an unreasonable number. If he's healthy at age 29, he's probably around for two more years. But, you know, that doesn't mean that you've got anybody else. And then, once again, beyond 23, I don't think Chris Jones is on this roster. I mean, there's no indication at this point that the Chiefs are in the business of giving contracts to guys in their 30s and certainly on their third contracts. So you've got to start looking at, you know, who's going to fill roles in 22 and 23 and 24. That's why it wouldn't surprise me that even though the Chiefs have needs at edge rusher, that if they didn't tackle interior defensive line and the defensive tackle at some point in this draft as well.
Yeah. And you talk about that, and I just want to throw this out there. His cap number for 23 is $27 million.
There, thank you. I said 20. It was way off. 27 is a much more questionable number.
Right, but he's at 29 this year, so he's already costing them a ton of money this year, and he would be at 27 next year, so it's a little bit down. I'm not expecting that they cut him, but nothing is guaranteed past 2022. They can't save any money by cutting him in 2022. I'm not trying to say that they should. I'm just saying, just looking pure cap, $22 million is guaranteed. Cutting him would lose you money. So that's obviously not going to happen. But in 2023, they could save $20 million by cutting him. I don't want to see it, but it also wouldn't shock me if they have somebody and they get into that 40 range where you're looking at drafting Pascal if they look at a guy like Travis Jones. Or what happens if Devontae Wyatt is sitting there at 29 or 30 and they're on the clock? And Boye Mafe is gone and the edges are gone that you would look at. Are they going to look at that direction? I think that they would have to.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, and by and large, other than quarterback, I mean, mm-hmm. they haven't really crossed off any position from, you know, where they might go in this draft. And part of that is that, you know, once again, what Brett Veach told us last week, I mean, getting younger is absolutely a priority for this team. Getting faster is almost a secondary byproduct of that. But the other reality is that part of it's going to be after have to be cheaper. I mean, they're going to have to continue replacing expensive players with players that are more affordable. And this draft is going to be huge towards that. When you've got 12 selections, even with four of them being in the seventh round, you've got to maximize this draft because, yeah, I mean, it's not just about, you know, filling out a roster on Patrick Mahomes. It's also going to be about replacing big value veterans, guys like Chris Jones and Frank Clark. I mean, you've got to have their backups in the pipeline and ready to go because you just can't count on replacing those guys in free agency down the road because it becomes a cost prohibitive move. I mean, this team has to do a better job of developing and growing their own talent. And this draft is going to be, I mean, to a large degree, a make or break moment for this club.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring that up because you start looking at next year in the salary cap, and Ryan and I have talked about this a little bit on the podcast, but they have five guys that are over $20 million on the salary cap in 2023. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, and Joe Tooney. Sorry, four guys. I apologize. And then Travis Kelce is at almost $15 million. So obviously Frank Clark's going to be gone. We all know that. That's going to be part of it. This was his last hurrah with the restructure, so I get that. But yeah, you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do, Jones. And I'm not saying they get rid of Tooney either, but you're going to have to retool this roster to be able to compete because right now they have 22 people on the roster next year and only $39 million in cap space. That's a problem.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and once again, I mean, it goes back to, and I don't even say this from a standpoint that the Chiefs need to come out of this draft with 12 players. That's not necessarily the case. I mean, if they are able to parlay this into coming away with eight players that, you know, stick with this club long term, I mean, that would be huge. You know, and you know, you're not going to hit on every pick. Nobody ever does. But you can't come out of this draft with, you know, two starters and a couple of special teams players. I mean, you need to come out of this draft with half dozen guys that are going to be integral members of this team, you know, 2 and 3 years down the road.
Yeah. And you don't have to get starters. The big thing to me is everybody wants a first round pick that's going to start it right away. And I get that. I don't disagree with it. But if you're going to get a wide receiver, or I think a corner is probably going to start right away, an edge is probably going to start right away. If you go wide receiver, I don't know that they start right away. There's going to be a learning curve in this offense, so it's not going to fit that scheme specifically. But then you get into the second round. just because you're taking somebody in the second round doesn't mean they have to start. Maybe you go get another safety and he becomes your third safety. And how many times does Kansas City go to that third safety role? I mean, that's huge for this defense and what Spags likes to do. There's just so many different ways this draft can go. And when we get back, I do want to talk a little bit more about your later round picks. But let me tell you about our friends over at Built Bar. This is the time of year that most people have given up on all their New Year's resolutions. That is because it is not easy to stick to eating food that you really like. It is a lot easier to just eat food that you like and not eat healthy food. Have you tried the puffs yet from Built Bar? If you've not tried them yet, you are absolutely missing out on one of the best tasting Built Bars that there are out there. Puffs are a fan favorite with some incredible flavors. Cinnamony, churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. They are all very good. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Yes, that is 100% real chocolate. Low calorie, high protein. It replaces your candy bar with these. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Lots of different flavors to choose from. Mint brownie, coconut, coconut almond, and new for this month, white chocolate cookies and cream. They are all delicious. You absolutely need to try them right now. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, Matt, what sticks out at you when you started getting into the later rounds, the thirds and the fourth rounds? Because every time I do these mocks, it's like you start getting into positions where all the positions you want to take for Kansas City are picked over. And that becomes a problem.
It does. I mean, and that's the one thing, this team does need depth everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not just about, you know, maybe getting a couple of starters at a key spots. I mean, this team can absolutely, as you mentioned it, I mean, third safety is a huge, if for no other reason that I'm not sold that the Chiefs believe that they have two starting safeties. They've shown a lot of, you know, hesitance and resistance with Juan Thornhill. So yep. There's nothing that's guaranteeing that he's actually this club's number two safety at this point. So that's a position that I think you got to target. JT Woods from Baylor was there in the fourth round, you know, really big. I think a really nice player would fit in with what the Chiefs do. The one that was, maybe more of a little bit of a developmental pick, but I do like was Jelani Woods, the tight end from Virginia. That is, even though the Chiefs took Noah Gray last year, I haven't been sold on Noah Gray, and the production certainly wasn't there. But you know, the other part of it is that Jelani Woods and Noah Gray are two different species. There's no reason they can't exist in the same universe.
That's a huge key. And even if you start talking about, and I hate talking about life after Travis Kelce, but eventually you're gonna have to start talking about it. But even if you start talking about a guy like Blake Bell. And I'm not saying Blake Bell is going to be here in 5 years, but when you start looking at Noah Gray and Jelani Woods, you still don't have a blocking type tight end in that regard. You have a guy that can play like Travis Kelce does as, you know, more of a wide receiver or slot guy. And you have a guy that can play coming out of the backfield and be like more of an H-back type tight end. So you still have that other option there at that tight end. So I do think that that is a need at some point is to find somebody that can really do what Kelce does. To an extent, you're not going to be able to find what Kelce is because what makes Kelce so good is he is great at route running. He's great at reading defenses, and that comes with time. Can you teach these tight ends to be able to do that is a huge possibility and a huge step forward for this team.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you know, Andy Reid has talked about, you know, the pluses for with college offenses these days with quarterbacks. It means they're throwing the football all the time. Even going back to high school, they're throwing the football. And receivers are catching the football more than they ever have. The downside to me is that tight ends don't block anywhere anymore. They don't block in high school. They don't block in college. And certainly you don't continue to move up as a wide receiver if you're blocking. I mean, you know, if you're blocking tight end in high school, you're not going to a D1 school. So, you know, the pipeline doesn't have those kind of guys, which means that you've got to take players with the bodies to become that and kind of turn them into that. Woods to me has that. I mean, he's just a huge beast. Would be a great kind of a player, you know, in the red zone if he can hold on to the football and everything. But that's the one difference between him and Noah Gray. Noah Gray is much, you know, more of the Trey Burton, smaller, elusive kind of tight end.
Yep.
Woods is more of the Mercedes Lewis, you know, kind of style tight end. Neither one of them are Travis Kelce, and they're never going to be. I mean, there's only one Travis Kelce.
Right. So, same with the Tyreek Hill argument.
If you can get two or three tight ends to replicate 80% of Travis Kelce, you're doing pretty good.
Yep. And I think that's one of the biggest keys. You start talking about Kelce in that regard, and that just takes me back to the Hill argument before. When you start looking at wide receivers, the only reason that Kansas City is going to go move up and get a guy like Jameson Williams if they really want him is because they think that he can do things closest to Tyreek Hill in this offense, and that is worth going and getting. But the question is what are you going to have to give up? Obviously, that's a big question, but he's not going to be Tyreek Hill. Nobody's going to be Tyreek Hill, but can he do a lot of what Tyreek did? If he could do 70, 80%, you can find other guys that can do the other 20 or 30 and probably still actually be a better offense, because then you have two guys that are, you know, trying to get open and trying to help your offense as opposed to just one.
And, you know, and honestly, I mean, we talk about Tyreek Hill being able to stretch the field and everything. I mean, the thing that the Chiefs are frankly going to miss the most about Tyreek Hill is not that. I mean, they can get other guys to stretch the field. It's going to be the guy who can run the Z in, the guy who can run the 6 yard out and be open every single time, who can get you a, you know, first down on third and three with almost 100%.
How about fourth and three from Chad Henne?
I mean, yeah. I mean, those are the things that you're going to miss with Tyreek Hill, those little things. And certainly with Juju, I mean, I think that you're hoping that there's some guys there that can replicate some of that stuff. And you're right. You're never going to get the next Tyreek Hill, but if you can get somebody who can, you know, do things differently or do some of the same things, I mean, you're at least moving in the right direction.
Yep. And that's exactly what you have to do in this case. You have to move. You have to keep moving forward. You have to keep taking this team forward. And yes, the loss of Hill is big. Yes, it's going to be something that's going to possibly come back to bite him at times during the season, but they have to find a way forward. And I think that this draft, especially the one you did, you know, you have a guy like George Pickens who can come in and start. You have Mechie who can take the top off of defense, and Pickens can take the top off of defense too. So you have two different types of receivers there. And I think that's a great sign for this team going forward. And if they can get some kind of huge wide receiver talent that really opens up the offense, because I really do think Veach looked at last year and said, okay, I want to go fix the wide or I want to go fix the line. He fixed the line last year. You still have a question at right tackle, and we'll see if that gets addressed during the draft. It possibly could. Depends on who drops and who's available. But I think he's looking at wide receiver. I don't think he is of the opinion that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to make players better so he can just, you know, do with less. I don't think he thinks that way.
No, I mean, this is the Chiefs are not going the Green Bay approach of just, you know, depending on Aaron Rodgers to make everybody around him better, or even back in the day, maybe a little bit of, you know, depending on Brett Favre to do that. I think Brett Veach has made it abundantly clear that goal number one with him and Patrick Mahomes was that he was always going to make sure that Patrick Mahomes has targets. Yep. Then he developed an addendum to that, which was that he is always going to protect Patrick Mahomes.
As he should.
So those are the first two things that the Chiefs are always going to do. They are going to have targets for Mahomes. They're going to protect him. Which unfortunately, it does mean that everything else comes in third. And there's going to be some things that are fourth, fifth, and sixth too.
Yeah, and I think the defense is going to come in third, and that's fine with me, because I think if you're scoring 35, 40 points a game, your defense doesn't have to be top 10.
And there's going to be times like this year where, you know, you've got the resources to spend a first-round pick on or early pick on defense, you're going to do it.
Right. So I think that they have to look at helping that defense and getting younger on that side of the ball and really changing things on that side of the ball, because there's a lot of lost leadership and a lot of lost snaps on that side of the ball that they still haven't accounted for yet. So that's something that we're going to be watching going into this draft. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Can't wait to see how this draft shakes out for Kansas City. I'm really excited about it.
It's going to be a busy and long couple of days for everybody, but we'll have fun, right, Chris?
Yes, we will. And we will be talking, I think Friday, I'll be having you come back for an episode. So be looking for that. Really quick, I do want to throw out there, again, Ryan is doing a live stream of the entire draft. He will be covering the entire draft on all the Tegna stations, all the Locked On stations. If you want to stream it, you can. He will also be on TV on the Tegna station, so you can watch that as well. So be sure to go check that out. Matt, thank you again. I appreciate it. And you have a great day and enjoy your time in Kansas City and enjoy your time at the draft for the first round.
Appreciate it, Chris. Take care, everybody.